welcome to Inspired Island, where every episode we sit down with someone living an inspired life here on Vashon Island in Puget Sound. From world-class artists and musicians to chefs and business owners, our little rural island has it all. I'm your host, Grace McCray, a new full-time Vashon Island resident, and thank you for joining me on this journey to discover why Vashon is such an inspired island. And hello, everyone. I am very excited because today's guest is someone that I had in mind when I first started thinking about beginning Inspired Island. We have none other than Susan McCabe here in the studio with us. Hello, Susan.
Hello, Grace.
I'm really excited because usually Susan is the one interviewing people at Voice of Vashon, so we're turning the tables on her. Now, for many listeners of Voice of Vashon, Susan needs no introduction. So for the past several years, Susan was the Voice of Vashon's station manager, and she's been involved with the station for much longer than that. But last year, Susan announced that she would be stepping down from her role as station manager to instead focus on her many other interests, including continuing to host her popular Real Talk radio show, which airs every Tuesday at noon. And personally, I think I've known Susan longer than I've probably known anyone else on Vashon, to be honest. So we originally met about 5 years ago. That time, Susan co-owned a Vashon vacation planning service. And my husband and I reached out to Susan when we decided we wanted to get married on Vashon. And we were trying to plan the wedding from Washington, D.C. And it quickly became apparent just how ingrained Susan is in the Vashon community. And she knew everyone and was able to make some fabulous connections. And I'm not sure we could have pulled it off without Susan's help. And like most people who know Susan, we fell in love with her and we've kept in touch over the years. And I can honestly say that I'm not sure that I would have been as comfortable moving to Vashon without knowing Susan. So she's been a great influence for both me and my husband on Vashon. And I'm really excited to get to know more of her backstory and how she actually got to Vashon, because I can't remember if I've ever heard that story. So where did you grow up and where does your story start?
Well, I want to thank you, first of all, for that fabulous introduction. I want to know that person.
Yeah, she's pretty fabulous. I should introduce you.
You made me sound great. And I am so glad that you and Kevin are here on the island. You're a great addition. I grew up outside the Chicago area, or in the Chicago area, outside the city, and spent most of, well, at least the first half of my life there.
Okay, and what were you like as a child?
I was very active, to my mother's dismay. I was a tomboy. Mm-hmm. I played football. I played Cowboys and Indians when I wasn't making up stories. I started making up stories when I was three, and plays, and I used worms as my actors at that time.
Oh, wow. I've never seen that done.
Well, it worked out well because if you ran short of cast members, you just cut them in half and they kept moving.
Oh, gosh.
But then I graduated to Barbie dolls and started making plays with them. So that's the kind of kid I was, mostly imagination, fantasy, and movement.
And performing as well?
I didn't do a lot of performing unless people would let me in, you know, at home with my family, things like that. I got into performing and in directing somewhat in high school.
Okay. And what was high school like for you? You were still in the Chicago area?
Well, we moved around a lot during my high school years. So I went to three different high schools in Chicago, to a Catholic co-institutional school to start with, where the boys were on one side and the girls were on the other. And we had brothers teaching the boys and nuns teaching the girls. It was a truly Catholic experience.
Wow. Was there much crossover between the genders?
At lunchtime, the girls' bathroom was a beauty shop.
I'm sure. Getting ready.
Contact with the opposite sex, yes. Then we moved out of the area to, well, then I went to public school for a while in Chicago area, and that was a shock. And then we moved to the St. Louis area, and I graduated from high school in the St. Louis area.
Okay. So you said you got a little bit into performing
theater,
in high school theater.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm. I loved theater.
Which you still do today on Vashon.
Yeah, somewhat. I get involved in theater. Yeah. I'm not performing as much as I am behind the scenes.
Yes. And you're just involved and have so many different skills. What was, when you graduated high school, did you have something in mind that you wanted to be when you grew up, or some sort of career path in mind?
You know, I didn't know exactly what I wanted, what kind of career I wanted, but I knew I wanted to travel. And so I was always looking for ways to do that. However, I wound up getting married very young and having my first child at 21.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that kind of sidelined the young adult adventure time, but I made up for it later.
Yes. And were you, when you were a young mother, were you working outside of the house or focused on the kids?
Most of the time I was working outside of the house. I wound up being a single mother pretty early on.
Okay. And when did Vashon come into the picture?
That was, let's see, I was a radio news reporter in Central Illinois at the time. My best friend, whom I had acquired as a single parent student, she was the director of the child care center where I brought my kids when I was going to school. When I graduated, I became a radio news reporter in Central Illinois. She moved out here. So as soon as I could afford to visit her, I started coming out here. As my career grew, I was literally traveling around the world, doing international marketing for Underwriters Laboratories in 9 Asian countries. And the more I traveled, the more I fell in love with the green here. So once I got my kids through college and dumped the corporate job, I thought, okay, I'm going to move to an island in the Puget Sound and be a freelance writer. It sounded so romantic.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, my friend was part of what I called my overextended family, which included Marion True O'Brien. So I visited Vashon and I thought, wow, this would be the ideal for me to be a freelance writer out here on this island in Puget Sound.
Right. It's a sort of a haven for people that can work from home or work remotely.
Oh, it is. It is. And there are folks who say it has creative vortices that attract independent and creative people. And independent is what I've always been.
Right. And going back for a second to the radio career, how long was that? And did you enjoy it at that time?
Oh, I loved it. It was very low paying and I was raising two children. So it only lasted about a year and a half. And then I had to go to the dark side, which I call public relations.
Okay.
And marketing. And throughout my public relations and marketing career, I was always producing audio and video and writing. Writing has always been the foundation of everything I've done.
Writing and storytelling.
Story, story, story. Yes. Which reminds me of the Brian Doyle play that we're doing right now. He was all about story, story, story. It's a driving force.
Right. It inspires you. Yeah.
It does.
And so you didn't raise your children on Vashon.
No, no. They were raised in the Chicago area. And they came out west before I did.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest son, I think, wanted to get to the farthest end of the continent from Chicago as he could, and that was California. Okay. So he went to UC Irvine and then to USC in Los Angeles.
And when you first moved to Vashon, did you immediately jump into the community and start getting involved in things like Voice of Vashon or different...
Well, no, because I was building a freelance business and I still had Asian connections from my job. I was working part-time for Underwriters Laboratory still from my home here. So I was building a freelance business in the area and working for folks in Chicago. So I didn't really meet many people on Vashon. My human contact was to go to Thriftway once a day.
Once a day?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, just because I wanted contact. And the only time I saw the people I worked with was when I went to Asia, until I started building freelance here. And most of that was in Seattle. So no, I did not jump into the Vashon scene right away. It wasn't until someone mentioned to me, or I mentioned to them, that I had had some experience in radio. And they said, gosh, you should start a radio station here. And I knew how much work that would be. And I said, no way. No way. Then later, I learned about Voice of Vashon. And it was a fledgling web station at the time, with a few folks who are still some of my closest friends, Bill and Jeannie Wood, Jeff Hoyt, Cindy Hoyt, and Michael Golan Johnson, who is still a board member with Voice of Vashon. And they invited me to join them. So there I was on the board. And that was 2000.
how long had Voice of Vashon been around as a web service for longer than that?
Close to a year before that.
Okay. But there was obviously a lot of community hunger for
there,
a local
there
radio.
Was, and there was a lot of talent and energy and spirit among those folks who started it.
Yes. Okay.
Everyone had experience in radio. Steve Allen actually founded it, co-founded it with, I'm not going to remember his name now. Forgive me, Steve. but Steve Allen co-founded it and created the Articles of Incorporation and got it rolling.
Amazing. And so did you immediately start producing shows on Voice of Vashon, or were you mostly at the board level?
No, we were all, it was a working board. Everybody was doing shows. And okay. That was the fun part.
I mean, yeah.
It was really, we did it because we all loved radio and wanted to have fun. So it kept going with pure energy and a certain amount of financial contribution from each of us.
So Voice of Vashon now is just, it's a large production. There's the storefront studio here in the downtown part of Vashon. What at that time, was there an actual studio that was sort of visible to the public?
No.
Okay.
Let's see. I think we started broadcasting from what is now the Pot Shop. Euphorium.
Oh, okay.
That was, I believe, our first broadcast studio, and I'm sure Jeff can correct me on this one. Then we moved to somebody's basement on Vashon Highway, and then we moved to Sunrise Ridge, and that studio, which was our original studio and is still the guts of the operation, was built like this Gene Boss studio on Vashon Highway by volunteers. It was the old grandpa's granny attic, where the grandpas fixed the stuff that came into granny's attic. So it was the grandpa's tool shop. And we took half of that and turned it into a studio.
Very scrappy.
Very scrappy. And that, of course, by that time, we had more people involved. By that time, Liz Shepherd and her husband had started working with us, and a bunch of other volunteers. Reed Nicholson was the contractor who helped us build it. And again, it was energy and love for radio and excitement. It was great.
Yeah. And I think sometimes when operations start in that way, like just by a lot of passion and committed volunteers, I think it sort of builds a foundation for something that's, it would be tough to just take away Voice of Vashon right now.
Oh, I can't imagine that happening. Right. Yeah.
Right. It just builds so much loyalty and investment and sort of buy-in from the community. And so when you first started producing content for Voice of Vashon, was it something like Real Talk?
I did a couple of things. Well, first of all, we all took a morning scramble show.
Okay. So that was started
so
in
that
very
started
early.
Very early. Wow. Yeah. Jeff had a morning scramble show. I had a morning scramble show. A woman named Karen Dufour Duchamp did. And there were probably two others because we were still going 5 days a week. So that was the first. And that got me back into news journalism. Yeah. Stories has always been my favorite. Then I did a show called Venus Envy, which was men talking about their feelings.
Oh, interesting.
The idea, which is passé now, of men are from Mars and women are from Venus.
Mm-hmm.
Karen Biondo joined me on the Morning Scramble. And then when we stopped doing the Morning Scramble, we started doing a show together called Ladies of the Evening, which was a variety show like Morning Scramble with music and guests and interviews, that kind of thing. I've done interviews all my life. So that is where I've focused now. You know, you sort of narrow down to what you like the best and what you're best at doing. And that's what I love about Real Talk. And of course, I'm working with Christina George and Mark Hickling, who are new volunteers to Voice of Vashon, to build on news and information for the organization. So we do something called Island Extras, which are news pieces. Sometimes they're 10 minutes long. I'm about to do a special that'll be a half hour long.
Oh, so really kind of circling back to your original radio career.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Exactly.
And how did you become the station manager?
kind of by default. I think the organization had grown to the point where they knew they needed somebody running the show. Mm-hmm. We were going for the FCC license. And so I was originally hired to be what they called the community liaison, working with, because I had worked at the Park District, so I had a lot of connections.
Yes.
And so they made me community liaison to start getting buy-in from the community for the FCC license. And that morphed into selling underwriters, etc. And then they decided they needed a station manager, particularly once we got the FCC license.
Got it. So yes, things got real.
Things got real, yeah, immediately. And then, like within a year of getting the FCC license, Zabette and Kelly gifted us this incredible storefront studio. And it was hit the deck running fast.
Right.
And that was when programming and support increased exponentially. And we were like the frog in the pot. It kept growing, and we were trying to do it with the same human and financial resources that we'd had before. And so by last year, I realized something's got to change.
Right.
This is too dependent on one person, and we need to do a better job. So the board and I worked together, and we developed 6 separate functions.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know now, we have expert, outstanding team leaders for each of those functions. And then they made the wise choice of hiring Lisa Breen to be the executive director, who's kind of the conductor of the orchestra, if you will. And things are improving by leaps and bounds.
I can attest to just the commitment and the expertise that everyone that I've interacted with who helps behind the scenes at Voice of Vashon. It's just, you'd think that these are all full-time paid positions because people are so committed.
They are, and they take ownership, and it's still a labor of love.
Absolutely. And when you think about your time as station manager, are there any sort of favorite moments or memories that come to mind?
There are so many good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of the Give Big Day celebrations that we've done here. We started that at Snapdragon before we had a studio, where we bring in all the nonprofits on the island and tell their stories. I love that.
Yeah,
I have really enjoyed bringing in and getting a broad idea of the scope of volunteerism on this island and how many outstanding nonprofit organizations there are here. So those Give Big Days are big memories. We've done a couple of great fundraisers. The Voice of Vashon, which was Melody Wood's brainchild, has been great. And the lip sync battles that we've done at the Red Bike, which are hilarious and wonderful. And, you know, it's the community spirit rises to huge volume.
Yes.
In those events. So, yeah, those are very memorable. And then the quiet times that I've had with board members who, they were always a delight to work with. It was always a team effort.
I was going to ask you about some of the tougher times being station manager, but it seems like the tough times might have borne this new organizational structure.
Yeah, they did. You know, as we ran up against, gosh, we don't have enough time, we don't have enough talent, we don't have enough energy, and always we don't have enough money.
Yes.
Fundraising has been, of course, vital to the organization. Without Rick Wallace, I think we'd probably have half the money we have now. But yeah, that has always been a challenge.
And on that note, is Voice of Vashon primarily funded by people who live on Vashon, I'm guessing?
It's kind of a mix. Those people who have chosen to become sustaining members help to keep us going. They're really important. Underwriters are incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
We have gotten grants from For Culture, from Lucky Seven, from a variety of other organizations. It's a real mixed bag. And the fundraising events that we do, raffles, as it turns out, have been a big source of our income.
So if you see people standing outside a Thriftway with raffle signs, please yes. Stop and chat. Yeah, those are very, very important. So now I'd love to take a moment and sort of talk about the decision to leave as station manager. and what's sort of on the horizon for you now? Because I think this probably is a big pivot time in your life.
It actually is. And it's been really fun and exciting because the organization made such a healthy move for me to leave. I have not had any guilt. Mm-hmm. And I have not had, frankly, any sadness about leaving. It was time. And so now I've revitalized my freelance writing business, and I already have several clients. I'm doing stuff that I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
I am, of course, doing Real Talk. I am currently working with Mike and Jerry Feinstein and Charlotte Tinkin on stage managing a play, Kiss the Joy as It Flies, The Wit and Wisdom of Brian Doyle. I hope, of course, this is time sensitive, but it's the weekend of March 9th and 10th, and then we've got our opening night tonight. I'm also working with Vashon Adventures, and I'm going to be leading hikes.
What's Vashon Adventures?
Oh, Vashon Adventures is one of our biggest supporters, for one thing. They are Aaron and Doug Keeper, who bought the kayak center from me when I was working at the Park District and have turned that into an incredible recreational business. They now have the kayak center. They have kayak stand-up paddle boards. They have trips, camping trips to Blake Island. They manage campsites at Point Robinson. They have the Vashon e-bike store.
All right.
So they offer e-biking tours, and now we're adding hiking tours, which may also include adventure days where people can come and get a little snack at the Wild Mermaid, go for a hike or a bike trip, come back, have lunch, and do a little art class in the afternoon.
Wow, that sounds pretty nice.
That's one of my passions, has been to increase tourism on Vashon.
Yes.
Because it's the only economy we've got.
Exactly. And I think you did a great job, as I mentioned earlier. You had a vacation planning company for a couple years with Charlotte, I believe.
Charlotte Tinkin, yep, and I did that together. And then it kind of, for lack of funding, became basically a booking service and a wedding planning service for the island. And then Charlotte moved to South Carolina.
Mm, yep.
And I didn't want to do it by myself.
But I can attest that you're a great first face for people who are coming to Vashon. I know a lot of our wedding guests interacted with you and just had amazing things to say. So that sounds like a really fun new adventure for you.
Oh, it does. And we have this island has so much to offer people. And unless you've got somebody showing you what it is, you wouldn't notice it. I think people come here to spend a day on a weekend. I've heard someone say, if you come here by yourself to spend a day on Vashon Island, you'll kind of look around, you'll be bored by the afternoon, you'll go home. Mm. If you come here with someone who knows the place, you'll fall in love and you want to live here.
Yeah, as you just saw, there's a lot of things that I haven't even heard of, and I've been here for about a year full time. Uh-huh. So there's a lot, you have to scratch a little bit below the surface, but there's so much to do, so much to see. And on that note, the basis of Inspired Island is really kind of understanding how Vashon Island inspires people and their work and inspires them to follow their passion. What are your overall thoughts? You've been on Vashon for quite a long time now. What do you think about the island and how it's impacted you?
I think it has been a creative haven for me and for a lot of other people. And one of the biggest things I've learned is that if you have a dream of something you want to create,
mm-hmm,
you will find people on Vashon to help you make it happen. It may not look like Hollywood, but you will get the creative satisfaction of getting it done. And you'll have people flocking to help you. I think it's kind of like the old kid thing. Let's have a show in my dad's garage. Okay. And everybody jumps in and they're ready to do it. And Vashon Center for the Arts is a big part of that. So is Open Space for Arts and Community. They're there, and you'll always find someone here to help you get it done.
So, Susan, we've come to the fun sort of quick fire question round of show, which are a series of questions that we ask every guest. So we want to hear top of mind responses to some of these fun questions that focus on Vashon.
The verbal Rorschach test.
Exactly. Exactly. So the first question is, so the Seattle area and Vashon were known for good beverages, tea, coffee, beer, wine. Do you have a favorite beverage here on Vashon?
I just had a taste of the porter that they're serving at Camp Culvos. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's very good.
Yum. Okay. And if you're not at home or work, where can people most often find you on the island? Any favorite haunts?
Vashon Athletic Club, Snapdragon, Wild Mermaid, movie theater.
Yep. Okay. And soon on hikes, it sounds
absolutely,
like.
Absolutely. Yes.
Excellent. And do you have any pet peeves about island living?
Ooh, should I say that? Pet peeves about island living. Well, sometimes I think, I'm going to be shot for this. Sometimes I think we're a little lax on standards for quality.
Mm.
In other words, I think everybody gets a standing ovation for showing up.
Mm.
I'd like to see us be a little more selective, including my work. I want us to help each other reach for excellence a little more.
Okay. And do you have a favorite Vashon Island tradition?
A favorite Vashon Island tradition?
And you can't say give big.
You know, I've probably lived here so long, I probably am involved in traditions on a regular basis, and I
don't even
realize that's what they are.
Traditions.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
Yes. Ours is Point Robinson on 4th of July. My husband and
I
love going
down
there.
But oh, yeah.
Point Robinson's very special for us.
That's where you got married.
Exactly.
I remember that.
Yes.
It was the best wedding ever.
Oh, it was so much fun. And the last question is, where can people find you to learn more about you and your work?
Oh, yeah. My freelance business is up and running. If you need writing, whether it's personal or professional, just contact me at shmccabe, M-C-C-A-B-E, at comcast.net. The business is called Hanna Inc., and you can also find it on the Vashon Hub.
Vashon Hub. All right. Well, thank you. And we're really excited to hear about your next journeys after Voice of Vashon, and hopefully maybe we'll check in with you again in the future.
That would be my pleasure. And I want to congratulate you, Grace, on creating a wonderful show for Voice of Vashon. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening. Again, you're listening to Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSH LP, Vashon Island, Washington. Until next time, stay inspired.